Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church. My name is Keith Nethery, rector of the parish, along with Hannah Scorer. Our assistant will be leading the service of the word. Music supplied today. The instrumental portions from Steve Hollowitz, our music director. The vocal portions from soloist Victoria Piovesen. I'm back from vacation and enjoying the cool confines of St. James Westminster after an extended heat wave. Let us now join together. Take a moment and come before God in worship.
Author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion, nourish us in all goodness, and of your great mercy keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the book of James. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they are like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord.
Arise, my lovely one, come. The winter is past, the rains are gone. The flowers appear, it's a season of song. My beautiful one, arise and come with me. Who is it that appears like the dawn, as fair as the moon and as bright as the sun? Show me your face, let me hear your voice, my beautiful one, arise and come with me. Set me like a seal on your heart, for love is unyielding as the grave. The flesh of it is a child.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. When the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition.'" Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Thank goodness we have finally finished our run through all the bread in John. I have to admit that that was my first thought when reading this gospel. And my second was really no better. My mind was just caught up on the idea that the disciples were not washing their hands before they ate. I just couldn't help myself. I mean, even before the pandemic, I was a bit of a germaphobe, so I washed my hands religiously, you might say. And with the pandemic, well, you probably had the same visceral response that I did. But I think that the thought of that and the practical need to wash our hands before eating kind of obscures what Jesus is talking about here. Because it's a little hard to see when you think, hey, maybe the scribes and Pharisees have a point, because that's what I was thinking. Okay, hear me out, Jesus. I get that we're not supposed to shame people, but not washing your hands is gross. And maybe, just maybe, they're right with this tiny little piece of practical advice. But the problem with that is that this passage isn't about hand washing. It's really about the rules we make and who has the authority to make them. So let's go back a little bit, because there's a lot of skipped verses in this lectionary section, and they will help us understand what's going on. See, Jesus is teaching his disciples and the scribes and Pharisees from Jerusalem, it says, so site of the temple and center of the faith, have come to check him out. These are the bigwigs. They're the leaders and authorities on the law. And they watch Jesus eat with his disciples, and they notice that some of them are not washing their hands, which is a big no-no. And not just from a practical standpoint, but it's a holy ritual as well. And they get angry, and they say that they are not respecting the traditions of the elders, and Jesus calls them hypocrites. Now, listening to this passage and knowing Jesus, we probably all just trust that he knows that they're hypocrites, and we could probably wager a guess why. They're law-based, and Jesus has come to institute God's grace. It's an age-old argument, and it's one that even Christians toss at each other for being too works-heavy or too grace-heavy. But he calls them hypocrites specifically because in verses that we skipped, he announces to the crowd that they say it's defiling to not wash your hands when eating, because that's part of the tradition of the elders, when they created a loophole for themselves to dedicate their wealth to God so they don't have to take care of their parents, thus breaking one of the big commandments: honor your mother and your father. So this isn't just about rule following for Jesus. This isn't just because Jesus is a rebel with a cause and he's out to abolish the law for grace. This is about how the abuse of power by authority figures creates a tiered system in which the privileged can do what they want and use the rules to punish and oppress the vulnerable. That's much more complicated, right? Because we can say to ourselves, of course I'm not the Pharisees. I know Jesus died to save me, and therefore I know I am given grace. I don't follow the covenant law. But can we honestly say that we don't create double standards like these Pharisees? That we don't think it's fine to treat ourselves once in a while, splurge on something useless but pleasing, but admonish those in poverty for taking some small measure of joy from a cup of coffee? That we don't expect immigration authorities to vet very carefully those who would come to our country, not only for criminal activity and disease, but also for productivity and education and class, while not holding our own citizens to those same expectations? That we don't shame younger generations for not being farther ahead when they have depressed wages and have to wait until someone dies to take their position because we refuse to allow for succession while we live? We create double standards all the time. We invest ourselves with authority from the church or other community institutions, from social rank, from structures built on the marginalization of women or people of color or those with less money or less education. And we assume we earned it, that it was granted to us from on high because of our merit, because of our righteousness. We are human. Just like those Pharisees, desperate to feel in control of our own destiny, to feel in control of our own goodness, wanting there to be some sort of system to give us the rules of salvation so that we can do a good job and be assured of it. But the problem is that those judgments on ourselves and others come really fast, and they get in the way of doing the most important part of God's salvific plan, loving one another. Because that's really how we're saved. It's love. It's God's love for us come down in Christ. And in turn, that love becomes multitudes more. For when we feel truly loved, we can love others with a pure and open heart. Jesus says to the scribes and Pharisees and to us today, stop worrying about the ritual actions you make. I will not stop loving you if you make a mistake or forget something. Stop thinking about the traditions of elders as some infallible system, because they were human too, and they got some things wrong. And now it's your turn to fix it. And remember, it's what's in your heart that matters. A heart full of hatred and judgment for yourself and for others will always be dark, so open yourself to my light. Be made clean in the washing of your spirit. Let go of the things you think you know and listen. Be loved and learn to love in return. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us now confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please take a position that is comfortable for you in prayer. Our God is the source of all holiness. With the needs of the Church and the world close to our hearts, let us pray to the only one who can redeem and renew. Father, we are all too aware of our temptation to place our trust in rules and traditions, and we long for you to release in the Church such a desire to serve the living God that nothing is allowed to get in the way. God, we recognize in ourselves the universal, dangerous wants and cravings which are cultivated because they make money. Give us universally such a loathing of evil that there is international cooperation and individual responsibility in fighting it and building up one another in love. God, may our homes, schools, and churches reflect and engender the godly values of mutual care, respect, and responsibility, of integrity and forgiveness. God, we stand alongside all who are hurting, in body, mind, or spirit, all who need courage, support, or practical help. Make us willing to become part of your answer to our prayers for them. God, as Lord of both time and eternity, we commit to your keeping those who have died to this life, that freed from all pain and forgiven, they may live in the peace and joy of heaven. God, write your law of love on our hearts, and send us glowing with thankfulness through the week ahead. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you forevermore. Amen.
Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.